Turning Point Coaching and Consulting presents Kairos Conversations, Connecting with Quality, the podcast. Kairos is Greek for the right time, the right season, the right opportunity. This podcast features healthcare quality professionals who share their journeys, their advice, their struggles, how they made that transition into a new and exciting role. My heart's desire is that you find this podcast to be inspirational to you as you make your own journey. Don't forget to share this podcast with your colleagues and friends and rate us on whichever podcast platform you listen to. Thank you for being here. Thank you so much for tuning in today. Today, I am joined by my next guest, Jackie Boyle. Thank you so much for being here, Jackie.
Oh, Brandy, thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
I'm super excited to talk with you today. So let's start by introducing yourself to the audience.
Sure. Well, thank you for having me again. My name is Jackie Boyle. I'm a pharmacist by training, but I do quite a bit of other things that you may not expect a pharmacist to do in my career. So my full-time job, I'm a faculty member and an administrator at a college of pharmacy. And what I found outside of my full-time responsibilities is a really fun side business in coaching pharmacists and pharmacy owners to do different things, whether that's change their career and, you know, pursue another path or launch a business, or for those owners, how do they maximize the services that they're offering and implement new patient care services. So by day, faculty educator, I teach a lot of the same topics in professional development and really helping with those soft skills that pharmacists need to be great pharmacists in the patient care world. But I really love helping people be successful outside of that role as well. And then outside of my day job, I spend a lot of time with my two little ones. I have a 7-year-old and a 2-year-old and my husband. So we spend a lot of time together, and that's really important to me. So other than that, quite boring, but those are my main priorities. And hopefully we can have a great conversation here today.
Yeah, I love that. And I also have a 7-year-old. So we're in a similar stage in parenting. And I want to dive into, you know, what you do with coaching pharmacists and all of that. But we're going to back up and say, how did you get into pharmacy? And then what kind of led you away from doing, you know, full-time bedside pharmacy?
Yeah. Oh, gosh, that was a winding road for sure. So my family, so I'm a first generation college student. Neither of my parents pursued higher education. And I remember, you know, being in high school and, you know, you're getting to the end stage of your K through 12 education, and people are asking you, like, what are you going to do? And at that stage of life, I had no idea. I knew I liked science. I knew, you know, the body kind of fascinated me. I had a kind of integral moment in my 10th grade experience where my mom actually got diagnosed with breast cancer. And to me, that was, I thought potentially, you know, that was it. You know, I thought that was it for her. I, you know, being so young and not really understanding healthcare or treatments or anything, I didn't know what was going to happen. And I'm happy to report my mom is alive, healthy. She is a survivor. Yeah, I love, oh, she's like my inspiration for everything. But, you know, I saw the treatments she went through between hormone therapy and radiation and surgery. And I was like, oh my goodness, like her life is saved, you know. And I kind of fell in love with the idea of being able to help people in that way, in some format. So originally I thought I'm going to go into research. I'm going to, you know, find the cure for cancer so that no one ever has to experience this again. And not knowing anything about how to get into that career path at all, I asked my high school counselor, like, what should I do? And she's like, well, you could pursue health professions, or if you wanted to do something like chemical engineering, you know, you might be able to get into research that way. So not knowing anything, you know, I went down the chemical engineering path, quickly found out that was not what I wanted to do at all. I am a huge extrovert. I needed to be around people. I needed to be, you know, not in a research lab. And about halfway through undergrad, realized I was on the wrong path. So had a bit of a life reflection moment at that point, talked with my advisor again and said, you know, what else is there out there? Because this is not what I thought it was. Thankfully, they laid out some better options. They said, you know, you may want to look at a healthcare path, and here are some options for you. And so once I found out that there was, you know, the option to learn more about medications and also help people in the process, like, oh yeah, actually that's what I wanted to do. So as you can imagine, I was a little bit behind in things and, you know, being on track to graduate. That being said, I graduated on time, but I wasn't a very good candidate for pharmacy school. My GPA was mediocre at best. I had having to put a lot of funding myself towards a higher education. I was working usually 30 to 35 hours a week with school, and just wasn't really devoting the right amount of time or effective time to being successful. And so I actually didn't get into pharmacy school the first time around, which was yet another crossroads at that moment. Like, oh gosh, what do I do? Do I try to get a job with my bachelor's? Do I go back to school? And what do I even go to school for? And it was such serendipity. I met someone who was a medical student who was in the same boat. He didn't get into medical school. He was at this crossroads of life with me in the graduate school admissions office. And both of us decided to take a master's program that we crammed into 1 year somehow. We convinced them to let us stay at Ohio State and cram a master's program into 1 year. So that was quite the learning experience. Thankfully, that also made me a bit more marketable for pharmacy school. And finally, I got to the pharmacy school degree as a non-traditional student. It was a different experience, but for me, it was actually exactly what I needed. I needed a little bit more maturity in my life. I needed to gain more clarity on what I really wanted and finally, you know, focused in on that career path. So fast forward, go through pharmacy school, find out that I really want to be in a direct patient care role and in a teaching role if possible. I love the things that I was able to do as a student in being a teaching assistant and in seeing patients during that time. And I pursued some postgraduate training. Pharmacists are able to optionally pursue residency when they're done with their doctorate program. And so we have that choice at the end. And I was grateful to land a position in a small community hospital as a resident for 2 years, learning how to be in direct patient care. And I also was teaching at a college of pharmacy during that time too. So in the beginning of my career, I was in a bunch of different roles where I was in the direct patient care world, mainly outpatient, mainly helping to manage patients' medications alongside my physician colleagues and nurse practitioner and physician assistant colleagues. And at one point, Brandy, actually worked in a physical therapy office.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, I did not know this requirement that you all have that requires that medication reconciliation is a part of every visit. And I happened to be in a position where we were implementing a new physical therapy office on the campus I worked at. And I got in touch with them and they're like, hey, can you come see our patients? I'm like, oh, I mean, sure. You know, like that's exciting. And I learned so much about your profession, probably not all that there is to know for sure, but it was fun. We had so much fun. So anyway, spent some time in patient care and I taught as part of that process. And what I quickly realized over time was that the system is very broken in so many ways. You know, just when we thought we figured out a great treatment regimen for a patient that was going to work for them, it was safe for them, they could hopefully afford it, you know, the system would just be combating against this, whether that was, you know, insurance wasn't going to cover this therapy anymore, or patient lost their insurance and now they can't get their therapy, or their pharmacy, you know, wasn't the place where they could receive this therapy anymore and they couldn't access it. And so I constantly felt like I was running into a brick wall at times of seeing patients, you know, trying so hard to take care of their health and the team trying to, you know, reach that same goal with them. Yet our healthcare system was not set up for any of us to be successful, including the patient. And so I had an opportunity about 5 years ago where one of my mentors had left a position at the college that was full-time, that was focused on professional development and student affairs. And I actually didn't think I was qualified for it. So I was hesitant to apply to it. But it was 2019. It was actually, you know, right before COVID happened, and ended up deciding to apply because I thought, okay, what if I can make a bigger impact on more pharmacy students that are going to be pharmacists someday, and maybe they could fix the system collectively? Because I saw from my own viewpoint as an individual practitioner, I felt like it was too much to carry and fix on my own. So I thought, okay, if I can educate more people, if I could impact their careers and trajectories, then I know that these brilliant minds will get the fix right someday. So ended up leaving practice then. I probably honestly would have left practice during COVID anyway. Just talking with my colleagues who were facing such difficult things. I had my 7-year-old was two-ish at that time, and just the anxiety I was feeling around all the things happening during that time, I'm like, oh gosh, I probably would have left patient care too. So yeah, I've been at the college now for the past 5 years, really working in that direction, and then taking this kind of entrepreneurial side route as well during that time.
Yeah, one thing, and first I want to say thank you for being so transparent with your journey and how you didn't get in on the first time. And I think that's very valuable to share, because I think sometimes people think that our career path is, you know, perfect. It goes in a straight line. It's exactly right as you want it to be. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that is totally not the case. you know,
yes,
twists and turns and all of that. So I appreciate that. But one thing that I have heard about pharmacy from pharmacy friends is that being a pharmacist is so hard because there's all these legal regulations and with the FDA that you cannot get anything wrong. Or maybe that's the pressure that's felt by pharmacy. And then you have, you know, these news stories that talk about your retail pharmacies and how pharmacists don't get a break and they're the only one in the pharmacy and all of this stuff. How do you think all of that impacts pharmacists at the bedside or pharmacists in a direct patient-facing role?
Gosh, our profession is very fascinating. And it's interesting to see, you know, the things that are shared are part of the story, but not the whole story. So I hope that, you know, folks who are listening and the public at large at some point will see that there's a lot more behind even the stories that are on the news, but even outside of that. So to your first question about kind of the need for perfection, that it's interesting. If you look at the typical personality type of a pharmacist, we are in that perfectionist realm. We tend to recruit folks who fit those tendencies. We have a curriculum and a mindset and the regulatory bodies, you know, we are kind of like the safety net of catching the mistakes before they reach the patient. That's the hope, which is so important, you know, from a patient safety perspective, like we have to get it right. That being said, when you think about things like just culture and, you know, fixing the system, because we know humans aren't perfect, it's kind of an interesting dynamic because, you know, we don't want to blame folks when mistakes are made. We know that the system is the thing we need to fix, yet we have all this burden and pressure on folks to be perfect. And so that does hinder pharmacists' ability sometimes to, you know, take small risks that aren't related to patient care, whether that's making a change in their career, you know, doing something, quote, outside of the box. Pharmacists aren't great at that. We've been kind of conditioned to be in this perfect environment all the time, you know, checking all the boxes, making sure everything is exactly right. And because of the work that we do and the nature of that work, it does limit our ability at times to be creative or do things that you know, are safe risks that, you know, are outside of that patient care aspect. Yeah, in the news, it's a hard time for pharmacists who are working in difficult working conditions. So we see that, you know, some organizations and environments do have a lot of pressure when it comes to the numbers and focusing on the quantity of things that can get done rather than the quality of things that can get done for patients. The incentives are misaligned in the payment process from my perspective of really incentivizing pharmacists to do things that help patients at the end of the day. Like, yes, we have to get medications to patients in all environments, but really we need to see that that patient's getting that great outcome from their care and better health. And so those working environments are very difficult. I think until the reimbursement is fixed and the incentives are aligned with quality patient care, that's going to remain a challenge. Now, that being said, you know, there are over 90 career paths for pharmacists. I had no idea about this when I was coming into pharmacy school. I'm like, what? You know, I kind of thought, one, I was working in a community pharmacy. I thought that's where I would stay. I mean, I enjoyed it. I got to talk with patients. It was great. And then I learned a little bit about a few other areas when I was in school. I had no idea pharmacists worked in a hospital. I quickly learned that there are so many pharmacists in the hospital. And many times those pharmacists are doing lots of different things, like working in the emergency room or in the clinic side by side with the physician, or they're, you know, making medications for operating rooms. Like, there's so much that they do. But then I, as I got into my career and I started learning and, you know, kind of teaching more in the career development space, I found that there are so many other places that pharmacists are working that I had no idea. Like you mentioned the FDA, there are pharmacists who work there. There are pharmacists who work for organizations and pharmacy associations. There are pharmacists who work in nuclear medicine. There are pharmacists who work in critical care. Like, there are so many paths that pharmacists can take that I often find pharmacists don't even know about. And so it's great to see that is available, but I don't know that, you know, one, that even our profession is aware, and certainly, you know, the lay public likely wouldn't be aware of it as well, because sometimes these folks are behind the scenes, or they're just not as common of positions as, you know, your local community pharmacist. They're everywhere. They're on every corner. You know, within 5 miles, everyone in the United States can see a pharmacist in a community pharmacy, and that's awesome. But there are so many other pharmacists doing amazing things for our healthcare system that are just wildly unknown at the moment.
Hi, friends. I have found that when clinicians decide that it's time to leave the bedside, often it's like throwing darts at a board. They just want out and will take almost anything just to move into a non-clinical role. I have always recommended taking the time to really identify your strengths, passions, and skills, and what will fuel you so that your next role is your best role. I couldn't find a tool specifically for healthcare professionals that would provide the depth needed to get a really good career evaluation until now. I am so happy to recommend the Stream Ahead assessment created by Career Clinic. It's the profile that I wish I had created first. Stream Ahead is thorough, comprehensive, and frankly spot on. And yes, I have personally taken it myself. I'll share the link in the show notes section of this podcast. You can thank me later. So what would you tell that young person who is thinking about going into pharmacy? What would you tell them in terms of, A, should they do it? And B, what should they be aware of?
Oh my goodness. I think it's the best time to be thinking about becoming a pharmacist because of the opportunity we have. Not only from the amount of career paths that are available and really aligning your strengths with one of those given areas, but we're at a pivotal time in healthcare where you can be a part of a huge change that is needed. If we even think about what's happening in community pharmacy and the transformation that is going on right now, I think in the next, you know, 10, 20 years, and there are some projections around this, we might see a shortage of pharmacists because of the demand and the need. So in some of our underserved areas of the country, you know, there aren't enough healthcare providers at the moment, and this goes for all of us. There aren't enough healthcare providers to provide care to everyone who needs it. And as patients live longer, you know, we see that their care is getting more complex, more medications are being utilized. It's no better time to become the person on the healthcare team who really is the medication expert. So in my opinion, Brandy, I think it's the best time. You'll hear a lot of different views, but I'm an eternal optimist, and seeing the trends that are going on, I think this is the actual time. Like, I wish I was graduating right now, because this is such a great time to be thinking about this career.
So once the person becomes a pharmacist, how do you help pharmacists in their career path? How do you help them stay in healthcare and you know, pivot to one of these other roles that you say are available that no one knows about?
Yeah. When pharmacists come to seek out, you know, career guidance or ask some questions about like, what else is there? Because I'm not sure I'm in the right area. The first thing we really focus on is gaining really big clarity on what you want out of your career and your life. And then also what you're great at. You know, a lot of times folks haven't taken the time to reflect on what they're really great at, what their strengths are, how they can be positioning themselves as a valuable team member and articulating that, and just having that space and time to reflect on what they really want out of this life. You know, you spend so many hours at work, you might as well make it somewhere where you're actually feeling fulfilled every day and you're excited to go there. You spend more time at work actually than anything else. So the first thing that we really hone in on with folks is a lot of deep introspection, sometimes some really uncomfortable questions that cause people to need to reflect and turn inward for several hours and sometimes, you know, weeks of reflection. But the deeper people dig on these questions that we have in our coaching, the better the outcome, because they finally can discover, like, what are my values? What's important to me? What do I want out of this life that I'm, you know, building for myself and, you know, potentially my family around me? So a lot of deep introspection can really bring out some awesome, awesome self-discovery.
Okay. So you start with helping the pharmacist to figure out, what do you love? What are you good at? Let's go that direction. And then what happens next when they're working with you?
Yeah. So once we're really clear on what they want to do, we have a process where we find out, you know, based on what you've discovered about yourself and your strengths, let's hone in on a few different career paths that really align with everything that you're talking about. So that is the really cool discovery piece of like, hey, did you even know that there's these six options that align with your strengths? And oftentimes pharmacists are like, no, I didn't even know that was a thing. I didn't even know that was an option for me. So they can learn about that. And then we start connecting with other pharmacists who are doing that same thing, because of course we'll have a menu of potential options, but then hearing from pharmacists who are working in those jobs day to day and really building those relationships and connections is extremely helpful, because you can hear like, what's challenging about this job? What's rewarding? What does your day-to-day look like? That's not going to be found on a simple job description or, you know, on a job board. Yeah, Indeed's not going to share all of that information. So it's really talking with folks who are doing the things that you may be fulfilled in, and then exploring in that space so that you can make sure that the next step that you have is one, you know, in alignment with what you want to do and what you're already great at. But then also the activities that you'd be doing in that job are really things that you're excited about too.
That's really cool. And I'm just thinking about that here because, you know, going back to something you said a little bit earlier, I find the same thing with the therapist that I coach, the therapist and clinicians that I coach, is they haven't taken the opportunity to figure out what's next. They want something different, but they're kind of open to everything.
Right.
And there's so much benefit to being more specific in their search, because otherwise they just spin in circles and they get so frustrated.
Yeah. And to your point, you know, folks who are looking for something different without any clarity around what that thing is can spend and unfortunately waste so much time applying to positions that just don't even make sense for them.
Yeah. And then they end up as unsatisfied,
right,
with the new role as they are in the current role.
Right. Right.
So how do you help them to overcome that barrier? I know you say you have them go through some sort of assessment or really do some deep introspection, but, you know, do you find that it's a mindset shift?
Yes, a lot of times. And it makes me reflect back on something one of my mentors said to me that I'll never forget, is that when you're making a career transition in any regard, running towards something is 100 times better than running away from something. And when you know what you're running towards, like if you don't know what you're running towards, then you're just running in a bunch of directions that don't lead to anything. But if you know the end goal, it becomes much easier to create a path to get there. If you don't know where you're going, then you may just be on a path that is unclear. It's spinning your wheels. It just feels fruitless because you don't have that end goal outcome in mind. And so it is a mindset shift, and it's not without challenge. You know, folks might still have opportunities where they don't get that next, they don't get the interview or they don't get the job offer. And that can happen, but let's take a step back and learn from that. Like, what is the growth mindset around learning from what can we do better? You know, can you get some feedback about your application or your interview process? Let's make sure that we're keeping that positive energy going and also realizing that failures and mistakes and challenges are going to happen. That's just part of how everything works in life. So mindset is huge around it. And then from the standpoint of believing in yourself and believing in those strengths and not discounting them, realizing that as a healthcare provider, you've worked really hard to get to where you are and you've done hard things and you could keep doing hard things. You have those skills, you know, so just reflecting on strengths and reminding yourself and affirming for yourself what those are is also a huge thing that we work on too.
Yeah. And because there's so many different career paths, your next decision doesn't have to be your final decision, right? It's not like
exactly
you're stuck in yes. this next choice that you make. You can always make another pivot or another decision later if you want.
Exactly. And, you know, there's so many interesting careers that may not have your professional title in them, but they may be directly aligned with your strengths. And I think a lot of folks aren't thinking about that fact that like healthcare has a lot of transferable skills across it. And you can pivot into a new role that may not say pharmacist in the title, you know, and I think folks aren't even thinking about looking for those opportunities at the moment. So it's really that outside the box thinking that we're not necessarily used to that we also expose people to and then talk about like, hey, did you think about this role? It doesn't say pharmacist, but it has all of the things you love to do in the description.
Right. And one of the roles that you had before, if I'm not mistaken, was a role in which you deployed pharmacists. Can you talk about that role and what kind of were you doing to help pharmacists at that time?
Yeah. So in a few of my roles, I've been able to help justify new pharmacist positions. And that has been really fun because I think because of the brokenness of our system, there's so much opportunity that's yet to be realized of plugging in healthcare providers into the process where they don't yet exist. And so, you know, if we could take a look at our healthcare outcomes in our given organization and say, okay, what outcomes are really not doing great right now? And how can we connect providers to addressing that outcome? So for example, I think back to one position where we were having some challenges helping to manage anticoagulation across several sites in our system. You know, our patient's time and range for their medication wasn't where we optimally would like it to be. And with that, you know, we said, how can we make this better? Well, we know that team-based care can help improve these outcomes. What if we start placing pharmacists on these teams to really help extend the care address, you know, any patient questions that are coming up, help educate patients about how this medication works, help follow up with patients more frequently so that we can make sure that they're getting to that goal and that range quicker. And through that project, we were able to justify many new pharmacy roles. So things like that. Right now, I'm helping an independent pharmacy team really extend their care and think differently about how they are just even interacting with folks who are coming in their doors. You know, when a patient comes into their pharmacy, how can they make sure that they have all the vaccines that they need, that they have all the screening that they need as far as their chronic disease states, that they have access to the medications they need and those medications are optimized. And so it's really just thinking differently about our healthcare system and identifying where gaps exist or where outcomes aren't optimal and saying, how can we make this better by utilizing the care team to their fullest potential? And I love identifying those opportunities.
Yeah, so let me just stop and say something to the audience. If you are a pharmacist and you want to learn how to provide better care for your patients, you know, work in some of these team-based models, or even do something totally different with pharmacy, then you've got to check out Jackie. I'll put her information in the show notes so you can connect with her. And we'll talk about how to connect with her at the end of the episode. But there is just so many gems here that you're saying in terms of like the roles that you were doing before, Jackie, and how those impacted the health system by the people that you were helping to impact the system, if that makes sense.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. It's been a fun career so far. I mean, aside from the system being broken, I also see it as there are so many opportunities that we can utilize our individual and collective strengths to address. And we have to see that side of things because we can get so bogged down by the, you know, potential negativity or the challenges, but we could take a step back and say, hey, there are so many ways we can make this better. What if we pilot this new program? You know, let's try it out for 3 months. Let's see how it goes. That's how we started with the physical therapy office. Actually, you know, we said, hey, when you have a patient who has, I can't remember if it was 5 or 6 medications, but we established a break point. We said, you know, if you have a patient that's on, you know, quite a few medications, give me a call. I'm going to come over. I'll review their medications with them. And then it was great because the physical therapist and I and their team were able to work together to say, well, based on our conversation, myself and the patient, here are some medication issues that might be impacting their care or that they could have optimized to make their physical therapy visits even more effective. So it was this awesome synergy, but it was just thinking outside the box and talking with our colleagues about how we can give patients better care overall and connect the dots where they haven't been connected before.
Yeah, absolutely. And if anyone is listening who is, you know, not in healthcare and is a patient or a consumer of care, I would just say that this is what Jackie just said is one of the main benefits to having all of your medications housed in the same pharmacy or pharmacy system and working with the same providers, because then they can help catch these errors, or if you're on too many medications, or there's medications that's contradicting each other or causing adverse side effects. So there's benefits to having a pharmacist where you can ask those questions so that you're taking the right medications at the right time.
That's such an important point, Brandy. I know sometimes it's outside of the patient's control as far as where their medications have to be filled. But to your point, having a medication list with you at all times, if you're a patient who has medications, and yes, that includes herbals and over-the-counters, please. Folks overlook those sometimes, and those have a huge impact on your overall care and even sometimes can be interacting with your prescriptions. It can be so tough, but keeping a list of all of those personally on you at all times is so, so important. And if you don't have one yet, absolutely ask your pharmacist to help you create one. Ask them to help you update it. You know, that's what we're here for. That's what we were trained to do. So thank you for bringing that up. That is so huge.
Yeah, and I'm glad that you brought up herbals and vitamins and things like that, Jackie, because I think people don't realize that those do have interactions with some of the over-the-counter and prescription medications that can cause too much of a good thing or cause some things, like if you're going to have surgery and you're on something, you know, that's a vitamin that may thin your blood too much. You know, there's all these different things, and that's why you need a pharmacist on your side.
Yes, yes. And, you know, what a lot of the public doesn't know, which I don't know how they would ever know this unless they've trained and, you know, went to school about it, but over-the-counters and herbal medications aren't regulated the same way as prescription medications. So unfortunately, you know, you might be buying an herbal product that doesn't even have what is on the label in the actual pills. And that is a very sad, unfortunate reality that exists in our healthcare world. So if you're having, if you, you know, you want to take safe over-the-counter and herbal medications, wonderful. Please ask your pharmacist to help you pick out the ones that are actually at least created safely and have what is on the label inside of them. And there's ways to determine that. There's some symbols on the label that you can recognize, like the USP symbol. You can recognize that and say, okay, this herbal actually has, if it's fish oil, 1,000 milligrams, it actually has fish oil, 1,000 milligrams in it. And so I think that's, you know, another small known facts sometimes amongst the public that we really need to do a better job educating folks about.
Well, I know we've talked about a lot on this episode. It's gone a lot of different ways with patients and providers and clinicians. But if people have more questions or want to reach out to you directly, how do they connect with you?
Yeah, I know. This has been great. We've covered a lot of ground. I feel like we have several hours of things we could talk about. if folks want to connect with me, feel free to reach out to me on LinkedIn. I'm pretty active on there. And then at on Instagram at Jackie Boyle Coaching, or TikTok as well, Jackie Boyle Coaching. I'll see you over there.
Yeah, and I will put both of those in the show notes so that you can click directly on the link. To anyone who wants to reach out to Jackie, which I would highly recommend that you do. Any parting thoughts for the audience, Jackie?
Oh, there's a lot. But I would say, you know, if you're in a healthcare career and, you know, if you're in a pharmacist role that you're not feeling extremely fulfilled by at the moment, or you're interested in doing more and maybe different things with your work, don't hesitate to reach out to, you know, myself, Brandy, as a coach as well. You know, it can feel hard to do this on your own, but having a sounding board, having someone who can help you hold up that mirror in front of yourself to say, you know, what were you made to do, can be super helpful. I actually have a coach myself right now. So, you know, all good coaches likely have had or have coaches too. I find it to be so extremely helpful. So I would say if you're feeling stuck or, you know, a little bit burnout or unfulfilled at the moment, feel free to reach out and ask for help, because there is more and there's more for you to do to feel fulfilled with this training that you've pursued and, you know, put the time and investment of yourself into, and you have more to give to the healthcare world. So please don't hesitate to connect with both of us.
Absolutely. Well, I have really enjoyed our conversation, Jackie. Thank you so much for joining me today and sharing all of those insights with the audience.
Oh my gosh, me too. Thank you so much, Brandy, for having me. And I'm sure we'll talk soon.
Thank you so much for listening to the show. It would mean a lot if you would share this episode with a friend or a colleague. I would be honored to encourage them in their journey too.